You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the stylus knee, and he was talking to Moxon Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Wall.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Scardy. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'm as deep as the biggest hole in the ground, my brother. I feel fine. I feel super. And I'm going to tell you something. We need to spread that cheer amongst the world. And I'll tell you the reason why, brother. What we need to do is let everybody know about a little bit more if you smile. Listen up.
Smile, though your heart is aching. Smile, even though it's breaking. When there are clouds in the sky, you get by if you smile. Through your fear and sorrow, smile. And maybe tomorrow, you'll see the sun come shining through for you. Light up your face with gladness, smile. Every trace of sadness, although a tear may be ever so near. That's the time you must keep on trying, smile. What's the use of crying? You find that life is still worthwhile if you just smile.
And that's the truth, ladies and gentlemen. If you smile, you'll see that sun come shining through. Isn't that the truth, Bill?
Oh, I think it sure is.
You know, those of you who know that song, it was Charlie Chaplin made it famous. It was his theme song years and years ago. And I don't know if any of you people remember Charlie Chaplin, but the guy that sang it was Jimmy Durante. When you guys
hear
me signing off each week, I say goodnight, Miss Calabash, wherever you are. Well, this is the man who was the creator of that. This is the man who uses that word. And when he said, when he signed off of his weekly television show, ladies and gentlemen, he said, goodnight, Miss Calabash, wherever you are, that was the woman that made him smile. That was the love of his life. And that goes out to my love of my life. Nevertheless, what a show you have put together for us today, Mr. Marco Bill. My goodness. And are we all over the map? We're from one coast to another and everywhere in between, and we've got some great guests, ladies and gentlemen. And I've got to tell you, our first guest tonight, I've met about 7 years ago. Maybe less. Can't remember anymore. But I'll tell you this. Great people. We've got a hell of an alliance together. We all stand for the same thing, the truth, and the for real stuff, as the kids say today. Is that for reals, Tom? I said, well, how do you spell that for real stuff, you know? And they're great people. You're going to meet them here in a minute. I just want to give a little background. You probably remember back, it must have been in 2005 or 6, I think. She'll correct
me. Yeah, that's about right, Tom.
Yeah, when the pancake lady, you guys might have remembered that, where she fed one of the creatures pancakes. She had a hell of a relationship there for many years. And then, of course, it gets distorted by everybody else because of time. You know, vision this, ladies and gentlemen. If there's 10 people in a line, and you remember that old game, you tell the first person the cat is blue. By the time it gets to the 10th person, you're finding out that the cat had stripes and it was purple, okay? And that's one of the reasons for the show here tonight, ladies and gentlemen, with these people in particular. They're genuine. They're straight above board. They tell it straight. And the problem of it is sometimes, just like with me and probably a lot of you out there, now you tell the story one way and it gets distorted by the time it gets out. And all we like to do now and then is just to set the record straight, okay? In the news lately, ladies and gentlemen, you've been hearing a lot of stuff. You've been hearing one thing about our ex-nemesis who's got a dead body in Houston, Texas. Or Austin, Texas, wherever the hell it may be. And you, the wise people know that it isn't true, but let him play his game, all right? And the other talk around town is that there's this new video, and they're calling it Matilda. And all the biggies are involved, okay? You got the moneymakers, and you've got the Munns, and you've got the Meldrums, and you've got the Ketchums, and you got a world heater involved, and they're all Ed and Ben Denegel, whatever the hell the poor gentleman's name is, and all the rest of them, okay? And they're all putting their 2 cents in. Well, ladies and gentlemen, the real people, the people that countless hours, the people that were for years nurturing these creatures, for years her hubby was climbing up those tree stands and staying relentless hours to capture that film, is with us tonight. So the Pancake Lady and the Bigfoot eating pancake footage that was out there years ago, and now the footage that's out there today that they're calling Matilda, were taken by this couple. So, you know, without any further ado, let's go out there and talk to Sissy and Roger. Hey, you guys, you out there?
Yes, we are. How are you?
Well, I'm smiling, Sissy. Did you catch that song?
Yes, I did. It made us all smile.
That's beautiful, honey. Thank you so much. You know, I want the world to know the truth on who took those videos. And we all know what time, when it was, the right era. Was it in 2005 or 4 or 6? Was it in that era?
Yeah, it was in that era, yes.
Okay, all right. What do you want the people to know out there, Sissy?
Pretty much I'd just like everybody, you know, to know the truth. When it comes to the footages that are out there right now, you know, we are the ones who took that footage. You know, we put in all the hard work, and we got those footages.
I know that Roger had shimmied up those trees and all those deer stands that he put up and everything to get those pictures, and that was time staking too. Are you out there, Roger?
Yeah, I'm here. Is Tom?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, how you doing, Tom?
I'm well. Thank you for asking, Rog. And why don't you tell our listeners out there, it wasn't an easy ordeal all that time, was it?
No, it sure wasn't. You know, a lot of people don't realize, but, you know, when you go out and you do that, I mean, I couldn't tell you how many nights I sat in the pouring rain. You know, it's not an easy thing to do.
But you were successful, Roger, as well as your wife, Sissy, and God love her, because she has a talent du jour, as you, throughout the years, have acquired, I guess, a similar talent being with her. What do you think?
I don't know if I've acquired any kind of talent, but I'd have to say that she, when I first met her, you know, it was all quite a blow to me. It's a pretty unique thing what she does.
So the rumors that are out there that other people took the footage that we're seeing on the Internet, is that true or not?
That other people seen, you mean like the sleeping footage that everybody's seeing?
That's correct.
No, there wasn't anybody that could get that close besides Sissy.
And you guys are the ones that took that video, correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. And the creature that was walking away, and the creature that was eating the pancakes, and the facial feature of that creature, who took those photos?
Sissy took those.
Sissy took those. So, ladies and gentlemen, what we're trying to say here tonight is real simple. You know, you tell the truth, and it'll set you free. And these people, the painstaking hours, the climates that they had to endure, the elements of the climates, over a span of how many years did it take you to get to where you were, you guys?
Oh, it took a long time. A lot of time, a lot of patience, a lot of hard work. I mean, I know just for myself, I have in it over 25 years.
Wow. Well, you've got, now let me see something. When you're married for 25 years, is that called silver anniversary?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about this, if I can. I mean, if I have time to do so.
Take all the time you need, Sissy.
I was actually married once before Raj. My first marriage, I was married for 18 years. And throughout that whole 18 years, Tom, I pretty much kept this a secret from my first husband. you know, after dinner, you know, I was always the one to do the dishes and what have you. So I would sneak food out after dinner, or I would say for my little friend, as I would call it. So I kept that pretty much a secret for, you know, the whole 18 years. And then, you know, after I got with Raj, you know, it was always my little secret. Never thought I'd have to tell anyone. You know, I would go out and do my thing, do my feedings, and no one ever knew about it. But when I did get with Roger, he wanted to do a little excavating on the property. He asked me if he could clear out one part of the property in the back because there was a small pond in the back. And I thought, well, you know, what the heck? No, there shouldn't be any issues. So he did a lot of clearing. And he cleared out a little more than I actually thought that he was going to, okay? And now, mind you, if no one knows about this, but I lived way out in the country where there was hardly any neighbors or anything. And there was an old truck bed, not the bed, but the cab, the bed, everything on the property. And when Raj cleared off this property, he actually pushed away that truck cab and everything. Well, I kind of have a feeling that my little friend was actually sleeping inside of that truck cab at one point or another. And that's actually, I'm thinking, when Raj got to see it for the very first time. We were down fishing at that little pond behind our house. And that's when it actually came, you know, around the berm of the pond and was by that tree the first time that, you know, he had ever saw it.
Well, wait a minute. Let me put you on hold. Let me interrupt you real quick, Sissy.
Go right ahead.
I just, since you're there and you saw that for the very first time, what went through your head?
Actually, well, there's a little bit to the story, Tom. I mean, I heard it first, and I asked her, I said, what in the world's that? And she just kind of looked at me funny. She said, I don't know. And I didn't know what it was. I told her to run up to the house and get my gun. And she went up to the house, and she got my shotgun and brought back down to me. And the neighbor came down. And me and the neighbor standing there listening. I told him, I said, have you ever heard that here before? And he said, no. Well, and it wasn't probably 2 minutes after that, this thing come up over the berm next to the tree and standing there. And I told him, I said, I think that's somebody down there asleep. And I said, I'll show you. And I popped the shot over top of it, but nobody came out of a suit. It just crouched down real loud and it screamed. And about then, I was pretty convinced of what I was looking at.
Wow. So let me ask you this. That was a pretty hairy, hair-raising incident. That happened that night or day. What went through your mind that time you went to bed and woke up the next day? What did you do? What did you tell?
To be honest with you, Tom, I didn't know what to think. You know, because I was never one to believe in something like that. You know, I mean, even after that, I still kind of had my doubts. But then again, I didn't, because I knew what I heard when I seen it. And, you know, I just don't see anybody being able to make a noise like that.
That's pretty incredible, you know, when you stop and think about that. But as time transpired, Sissy, and you guys, or primarily you, you know, bonding with these things, how long before was it that you actually took the videos and pictures of it?
Yeah, I'm really not sure, to be honest with you.
Okay, so just in a time thumbnail, 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, 6 months?
Now, when you're asking me that question, Tom, I just want to make sure it's clear. Now, when you're talking pictures, are you talking about, tell me exactly what you're asking.
Okay, here's what I'm asking, Sissy. Did these things kind of feel comfortable around you and vice versa?
I mean, at first, no. It took me years and years and years. I mean, to be honest, you know, it was a very long time before, you know, I had seen one close up. I had seen it, you know, far away, a silhouette. Like, even when I was a little girl, I could look out my bedroom window And I could, like, see a silhouette sometimes out back. And sometimes I would see something out by the outhouse, not exactly sure what it was. You know, when you're a little kid, you know, it's all a little confusing, and it's really scary. When you see something out your window and you're not sure exactly what it is, and, you know, I was at a point, you know, in my childhood, I was even afraid to go out at night and use the outhouse because I didn't know what that was outside, so I was scared to death. I would never go out there at nighttime.
Let me ask you this, Sissy. Did what was the closest you ever got to these things?
I actually, and it's going to be hard for a lot of people to believe, whether they believe it or not, I really don't care. Like I said before, I know what I can do with these animals and what I can't do, but I have actually been close enough to one of them to actually touch it on the arm.
Wow. What did it feel like?
Its hair is kind of like really coarse and kind of dense.
Did you touch its skin?
No, just its hair.
Just the hair, huh? Now, what did it do when you touched it? Did it get...
It jerked away, of course, because that was the first time I ever attempted to touch it. So when it jerked away, of course, it ran off, too. I mean, because I kind of went somewhere that I'd never gone before, so it kind of scared it. And once I did that, Tom, honestly, it was probably at least 2 months before it came back again.
Wow. Now, was it a family pod, Sissy? Was it male, female, juveniles, babies? Did you get to see all the different kinds, species?
I've actually seen... This one, I do believe, Tom, that I had touched was probably a male. But throughout, you know, everything that I've done, I've actually seen a family of three. There was a male, a female, and then a baby.
So you got to actually, you know, see a family pod. That's incredible.
Yes.
Wow. I mean, do you realize that how special you are? Especially in this arena today. And ladies and gentlemen.
I really don't feel special. I mean, to me, it's just like the persistence that I had, the fascination that I had with this animal, and just wanting to see, you know, how close I could get and how much I could interact. I guess it just really doesn't make me feel special. Plus, like, everybody in my family knew about it. Neighbors knew about it. I mean, even people I went to church with, people in the church would talk about it. So I guess to me, it really doesn't feel like anything out of the ordinary, if that makes sense.
Of course I do, because, you know, you were doing it all the time, and it was something that just came normal to you.
Right.
It's just like
right.
going to work each day. You know, you get
right.
up, you put your pants on one leg at a time, you have your breakfast, you make your lunch for... to put it in a bag, bring it with you, get in your car, start your car, and go do your job each day if you're 8 to 5 at Monday through Friday. I hear you loud and clear. I want to get your permission, you and Roger's permission first. Do you mind if I make the announcement and tell them about our alliance to the world out there around the globe?
Sure, that'd be fine, Tom.
Go right ahead.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, Searching for Bigfoot and yours truly, the real Bigfoot Hunter, have an alliance with Sissy and Roger, and it's our honor and our privilege to be hooked up with them. And I'm going to tell you real quick and straight out as I am that the footage that we're going to be acquiring here is a hell of a lot better than you're seeing out there on the internet now, a lot closer, a lot better. I mean, right in your face. And thanks to Roger and Sissy. And it's going to be alliance with all three of us under our shield of Searching for Bigfoot. So they'll be on a lot more. I'll be out there with them.
As a matter of fact, we may even do a show out in the brush while we're out there. If there's, I don't remember. Do they have cell service out there, guys?
Far and few in between, Tom.
Okay. Well, maybe we can get a high point out there somewhere and take, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes out and do a show and let everybody be aware of what we're encountering at those specific days and nights. What do you think?
Sure. That'd be fun.
Wonderful. Well, look here. I thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you for your honesty more so than anything. Ladies and gentlemen, you're going to be hearing a lot more from Sissy and Roger. Again, we've struck up an alliance. They're going to be under the umbrella of Searching for Bigfoot. And you're going to be seeing some footage down the line here before too long that's going to blow your mind. This woman is a talent. And take it from me, any woman that can do what she can do, that's a real talent, especially in this industry. And this man is a hell of a woodsman also. So what I'd like for you to do, just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show coming up here, and I want you to listen to some of the other people around the country, okay? Listen to their
great
stories.
Fine, tonight. Tom.
Tom, thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you so much for having us, Tom.
We're going to make an awesome team together.
Hey, I have no doubt in my mind. God bless you guys, and thank you for sharing and taking from your evening this evening to be with us to share with our people around the globe, okay?
It was our pleasure. Thank you.
God bless you, too.
Just mute them out, would you, Marco? I want them to hear the rest of the show.
We're there.
Okay, let's go to a commercial, good buddy.
Hey, here we go.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery. And deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage. Available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
You know, Bill, when I hear that little snippet of the big, you know, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, it reminds me of just yesterday, ladies and gentlemen. And here it is. God, that happened in 2008. That was 5 years ago. And one of those two guys is starting to perpetrate another hoax out there in Texas, telling everybody they got a dead body. You know, ladies and gentlemen, please listen to me. We were taken for an excess of $100,000 from those clowns, tried to prosecute them, but we found out that the law back there was a little bit dirty at the time. But they're messing with the wrong state now. Texas will prosecute him to the nines. So, and if you thought he had a body, ladies and gentlemen, don't you think that the scientists would have been there, the media would have been there knocking at their door? So let's be real. Forget about it. This guy's he's gone down that same deja vu scene one more time. Don't give him the credit for nothing anymore. He's just a big waste of people's time. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Michigan. We're going to talk to Rick tonight. Just had a recent encounter with a creature when a bunch of his friends are out there. We're out in the pasture with a big bonfire. And son of a gun, here comes a creature. Let's talk to Rick. Rick, you out there?
Yeah, I'm here.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm well, thank you. Now, why don't you tell my audience out there exactly what happened, Rick?
Well, about a week ago, going down Skunk Creek Road, and me and my buddy here, Richard Reese, stopped the car and we're like, "Well, what is it?" We thought bear or something, and we couldn't believe what it was, sitting on two legs, and sat there for and scurried off. It was the scariest part of time of my life.
What went through your head, Rick, when you saw this thing, you and your friends?
What was that?
What went through your head when you guys saw this thing?
I thought it was going to throw the car. I don't know. I don't know much about Bigfoot, but I thought it was going to throw the car or hurt us or something. It just ran away. It looked scared.
Wow. Well, what was the first thing you did that night when you went home? Who'd you tell?
Oh, well, I called you guys. Bigfoot Hotline.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. I remember it, too. Ladies and gentlemen, this is proof, okay? People are out there all night long, whether they're hunting, whether they're camping, whether they're fishing, or whether they're looking for Bigfoot. And if they encounter something like that, they call the Bigfoot Hotline. And what happens, Rick, when you call the Bigfoot Hotline?
Oh, well, you talk to Mark O'Bill, and you get to tell him your story and be on radio show.
There you go. And guess what? There's always somebody there to greet you, isn't there?
Oh, yes. And very nice, too.
Yeah, and that's the difference between the real guys and the guys that got recordings, wouldn't you say, Rick?
Yeah. It's very nice to talk to an actual person.
Oh, boy, I agree with you there. So listen, have you guys been back to that area since?
Oh, yeah, my buddy Richard did just the other day. I didn't
luck.
Go.
Anything appear again?
Well, here's my buddy Richard. He wants
Let's talk to Richard.
Hi.
Hi, Richard.
What's up?
What's up, dude? Tell me what's happened. You went back. Did you see anything?
I don't know if I saw anything, but it was pretty scary. I don't know what it could have been.
Yeah, so you were out there the first time too, right, Rich?
Yes, sir.
And when you saw this thing, what went through your head?
I just thought I thought it was a giant bear, to be honest with you, but it was impossible because it ran away on two legs, standing upright.
Made you think a little bit, didn't it, Rich?
It made me think what it could be. But then I went out there not too long ago to go fishing. This was during the summertime before I saw this.
Wow.
This was during the summertime. Not the story I'm telling you right now, but the story I'm about to tell you.
Okay.
Well, I was fishing out on the Skunk Creek, and I just heard some noise out in the woods. And I didn't really know what it was, so I just kept on fishing. And then not too far up the creek, I saw some splashes. They were pretty big-sized splashes, too. They looked like giant rocks were being thrown. So I was like, is there somebody out here with me? And sure in the hell, there was nobody out there.
That'll make you think a little bit, won't it?
Barely saw a glimpse. I walked right across a couple trees into some...
Wow. Okay. Well, listen, sounds like we're having some technical difficulties. But listen, I want to thank you, and I want to thank Rick. Thank you so much for sharing your story with us tonight, okay?
Wait, you didn't hear? Never mind.
We didn't hear the last part, but we got to get into our next guest. But you know what? Just mute yourself out. There's a whole lot more show, okay?
Okay.
Thank you, Rich. Thank you, Rick.
You betcha.
Okay, buddy.
You betcha.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was Rick and Rich. They had an encounter out there in Michigan. I like that at the end. You betcha. Sounds like a Canadian guys. You know, this next guest, ladies and gentlemen, I had the pleasure of talking to him last week. Swell guy. Interesting guy and knowledgeable man. Somebody that you really, really want to get to know and be a part of what he's doing. His name is Jamie. He's up there in Colorado, and he's one hell of a guy. He had an encounter with a creature that was throwing rocks, howled, saw eyes shine at night through the trees and tree knocking. Without any further ado, let's get up there to Colorado. Jamie, you out there?
I'm right here. How you doing?
I'm doing well, buddy. Thank you so much. And by the way, I hope that you and I are going to get together on the first thaw.
Yeah, I think we can arrange that.
That'll be wonderful. Listen, without any further ado, Jamie, would you be kind enough to tell my audience around the globe exactly what happened that night, that day, when you experienced what you did?
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm still kind of confused over the whole thing, and I think about it daily. I'm a hunting guide, and I manage a big hunting ranch up in central Colorado. It's very remote, very primitive. I don't have any neighbors my closest neighbors are 10 miles down the mountain, and the other ones are 25 more miles up the mountain. So it's very isolated and still pretty primitive. It's a very nice place, but, you know, our cabin is off the grid, and I live a pretty rustic lifestyle up there, and I do a lot of hunting. I'm a good tracker. I've been all over that property top to bottom. It was at the end of third season, rifle season. I had a good friend of mine come up and spend a few days with me. I didn't have any other hunters up there, so I told him to come up and fill his buck tag. And he came up, and we were sitting around a little later than we usually do. It was about 10:30, and we were having a couple beers and yucking it up and laughing about old times. And quite frankly, I had to go outside and relieve myself, so I walk out by my truck. I'm standing at the end of the cabin, and there's aspen trees about 60 yards behind my cabin up the hill. And it's open up to those trees. There's no trees up to there. It's just a little bit of low brush and some grass. And I'm standing there taking a leak, and something from those trees up there whooped at me loud and with a lot of bass. And it was, you could just tell it was big, whatever it was. And this went on three or four times, about 3 seconds apart. And I just stood there and opened the door of my pickup, and I had my rifle laying in the seat of my truck. And so I'm standing there. The lights are on in my pickup. The lights are on in the cabin. The generator's on. And when I opened the door, this thing, it agitated it. It whooped at me. I mean, and it was, the nearest thing I can describe it to is a big pissed off howler monkey. I mean, it was a whoop, but long and drawn out and loud. I mean, it echoed. And it didn't quit. This went on for 30 seconds. Well, I had my friend was inside the cabin, and he come walking around the corner, and I turned around and looked at him. I said, "Tom, did you hear that?" And he goes, "What are you yelling at out here?" I go, "That's not me yelling." He goes, "Well, come on, man, what are you talking about?" And I've got a little high-powered flashlight, and it was in the seat of my truck, and I grabbed it, and I turned it on and shined it up there where I thought the sound was coming from. And immediately, all we can see is two great big yellow eyes. Now, it was real dark that night, and I was standing around light looking at the spotlight, and so I couldn't really tell how tall the thing was, but I've seen a lot of animals at night. I've never seen anything with yellow glowing amber-like eyes. They're either red or green. And they were big eyes, and they were wide apart. It wasn't a deer. It wasn't an elk. It wasn't a bear. It wasn't a coyote. It wasn't a mountain lion. It was, I've never seen anything like it. We probably looked at the eyes for 3 or 4 seconds, and then they went out. And Tom, it shook him up so bad, he turned around and ran back in the cabin. As soon as he goes back in the cabin, this thing starts whooping at me again, and it does it 3 or 4 times, and I didn't know what to do, so I whooped back at it. And as soon as I whooped back at it, it whistled loud. And that, it was a completely different sound, and it took me off guard. And about that time, Tom came walking back out the door, and I go, "Did you hear that?" And he goes, "I heard you whistling." I go, "It wasn't me." And he goes, "Come on." And now I can see the hair on the back of his neck standing up, and I know mine's standing up. And I shined the light up there again, and as soon as I turned the light off, a rock about the size of a grapefruit came flying out of the trees and landed next to the cabin within 5 feet of me and Tom. Well, as soon as the rock hit the ground, it scared me so bad I'm kind of ashamed of myself, but I grabbed my .30-30 and emptied it on the trees.
Let me hold you for a second. Hold on. How far was it from the tree line to your cabin?
The outside edge of the trees is 60 yards from the cabin, and I don't know anybody that could throw a rock that far.
Whoa.
not one that big. There's no way. I mean, I couldn't do it. That, I mean, it's a shot put size rock. It's not. It wouldn't have been an easy thing to do for any. I mean, I don't. I can't explain it to this day. I don't know what it was. So anyway, we finally get calmed down, and Tom is shook up. It scared Tom so bad about it. He won't talk to me about it up to this day. He won't even mention it. It's a real touchy subject with him. Later that week, Tom left. I had a couple NFL football players come up there and hunt for a day. And I got to admit, while I was guiding for them, I was looking for tracks on the ground, and I was looking for what that was. And I'm going to keep looking until I find it, because I don't know what that was. They left. Another guy that works part-time on the ranch came up on Sunday of this week. Now, that was probably Tuesday when all this stuff happened. By Sunday, we'd had about 8 inches of snow, and that was the first snow of the season. And Shep came up and brought his new truck and his camper and everything, and he stayed Saturday and Sunday. Well, Saturday he didn't see anything, and it snowed on us pretty hard all day. And we woke up Sunday morning, and it was really snowing. So I didn't go hunt with him Sunday. I just told him to walk down the sneak down through this one spot by himself and just kind of sit there and watch and wait. And he didn't even make it to the spot that I told him to sit at because it was snowing so hard, so he just backed up under a spruce tree to kind of get out of the snow and sit there and see if anything came out. And something, he told me, picked up a log or picked up a big hunk of wood and started beating on a tree behind him, 30 or 40 yards behind him in the trees. He didn't know what it was. It unnerved him. I told him my story, and he told me I was crazy and didn't believe me. But I tell you one thing, he came back up and got back in his truck, folded his camper down and everything, and he drove off the mountain within minutes with really no explanation to me. He just, something knocked on the trees, and I'm leaving. So he was gone. So I stayed up there, and nothing happened. A couple more weeks, I'm still up there, and by this time the snow's 2 feet deep, and, you know, it's very, you can track anything in 2 feet of snow. And there is no tracks anywhere around there. There was nothing. By this time, I'd taken my horses down off the mountain, and so they weren't even up there to disturb any snow. Everything was pristine, and, it's beautiful up there that time of year. But there's no cell service at my cabin, so every night I've got to drive down to my main gate, which is a mile from the cabin, and it's all open. It's sagebrush and a little bit of buckbrush and some oak brush, short oak brush. And there's four or five little spindly aspen trees on one side of the road. Right by where I park. But other than that, you can see for 300 yards all the way around you. And it was a brightly lit night with the moon, and I'm sitting there in the truck, and I just got off the phone, and in fact, I was talking with Tom's dad. And right as soon as I hung up the phone, a couple rocks flew up out of the draw at my truck, and I don't know how big these rocks were because I never found them. But that thing threw a rock 100 yards, and it was the only possible spot anything could hide from me. And I still don't know what that was. I had to call Tom's dad back and go, Wes, something's throwing rocks at me now down at the gate. And he told me then, he goes, you just get out of there. He goes, I've heard your story, and he goes, that unnerves me. You get out of there. And I'm going, no, I'll come down whenever I have to, but I got to find out what this is. I never did find out what that was. To this day, I still don't know what that was, and I'm not convinced it's anything yet, but I've never seen anything with yellow eyes, and I've never heard anything that makes that noise and can whistle.
You know, Jamie, I got to tell you a story. Do you remember the Sissy telling her story this morning, or right before you? A couple of before you? Do you remember when she said that she persevered and she just kept going out there? Kind of sounds like you right now. That's what you want to do. You want to persevere.
Oh, I'll be there. You can bet yourself on that, because I got to know what that was. I've at least got to find some tracks.
Well, I got to tell you something. We need more people like you in the industry. And at least you tell it like it is. You manned up and you. You know, you're saying to yourself, well, you know, I don't know what it is, but I'm not going to give up, and I'm going to find out what it is. And that means an awful lot, especially in today's world. I'll tell you that straight up, my friend.
And, I absolutely am going to find out. I'm going to do everything I can to find out what it is. I don't know. It's a mystery that I think about daily. I don't think I'll never forget that night as long as I live. I'll never forget the night I was sitting at the gate and it threw rocks at me.
It's amazing that you telling this story, because as long as I've been doing this, in my first encounter, I don't care how old I get or how feeble-minded I may be, but I will always remember my first encounter, just like you did. And that's the thing, that drive and determination was to persevere. I got into this stupid business thinking that it was all bullshit, Jamie, thinking to myself, oh, man, and go to find out that after seeing that Patterson film and being as long as I've been in the industry and then debunking it and finding out that it was bullshit, that film. But there was the real Bigfoots out there. And, you know, in my tenure, I've had seven encounters now, and none of them look like the Patterson film. But it's called Perseverance. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart. Just mute yourself out. We got another story coming in from New Mexico, and thank you for sharing with us tonight.
You're welcome.
Thank you again, Jamie. And ladies and gentlemen, that was Jamie out there in Colorado, and we'll have him on periodically and let us see how he's progressing along the line. Let's go to a commercial there, Marco Bill.
1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
Did you hear that?
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I'm kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
And we're back, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the movie that started it all for us, Bigfoot Lives. One best documentary, one best director, being hailed as the most informative Bigfoot documentary out there on the market. Well, who would have ever known? Five more others after that, and we got our new one coming out within the next 2 weeks. Oh, my God, we've become a real factory here. That's the making of a real Bigfoot hunter. That's the making of a real Bigfoot researcher, ladies and gentlemen. You can talk all the smack you want to, but what have you contributed to the Bigfoot world? What have you contributed to the world of Sasquatch, ladies and gentlemen? Has it been documented? Is it in the form of a book? Is it in the form of a film? Well, we don't have one, we don't have two, we don't have three. We got five and one coming out. And they all are incredible. Without any further ado, let's get out there to Four Corners, New Mexico. Talk to our good buddy, Dave. Dave, you out there?
I sure am, Tom.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
What do you think of these stories tonight?
Oh, man, these are fantastic stories. I've seen some basic clips of Matilda on Facebook.
Oh, did you?
I can say that this is totally fantastic. That you're able to actually interview these people and talk to them and work with them. It's like, wow, this is incredible.
Well, you know, this stuff didn't happen overnight, son. Like I was talking about 2004 or 5, whenever it was, 6, we even, and think about it, that's 7 years ago.
Yeah.
We've made our acquaintances back then, and you know, we've got an alliance going here, and, you know, all we want the world to know is the truth. We just want to get it out there amongst the world, around the globe, that, hey, these creatures do exist, and these are the people that are making it happen. That's all right. We want to do.
Right.
Just want credit where credit is due. What's been going on up there in New Mexico?
Well, it's been a little slower, which is typical in the winter, but we have had more activity this winter than I think we've had, that I've ever known, actually. Normally, it would just sometimes just go completely quiet. Wouldn't hear any reports, but we're hearing occasional reports still, you know, up and down the river valleys, you know, of people that are not so much sightings, but a lot of vocalizations, myself included, here very recently. So, yeah, we I heard it about a week ago, and I wasn't sure what it was at first. This time I always keep my window cracked open, even in the, you know, the below zero weather, just to get some ventilation in the house. And I thought I heard some car sirens outside, or police sirens, that is. And I said, this sure sounds like a long extended police siren. It wouldn't go, normally you'd hear the Doppler effect, you know, because we have a highway nearby, and you'd hear the sirens get louder and then just, you know, drift off. These weren't doing that. They just kept, you know, going as a siren, long durations, that's the word. And so I stuck my head out, and just for a few extra seconds I heard this, and it wasn't coming from the highway to the north. It was coming toward the river bottoms to the south, and there's nobody down there. It's private land. So I go, wow, I think we have some traveling, or Bigfoots that are traveling through the area again. And this river system is the same one that we have all these reports going on, you know, up and down the whole valley, which seem to be increasing. So I think we may have another good year like we did last year.
No, so, I got to tell you something, Dave. every time that I remember coming out there, and gosh, how many times have we come out there to you?
Oh, at least 5-6 times at least.
At least. What was the one up there where it snowed, where we had to blaze our way through to make a road up on top of that mountain?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was up in the Lukachukais.
Lukachukais.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that time when we were up there together, all of us.
Oh,
you
yeah.
Remember when Rex and Tommy were up there climbing that mountain where the creature came out?
Yep.
And where we found all those prints?
Yes, absolutely.
Remember that?
Yeah.
You remember
when the next day
we awoke and here's snow all over the place?
Yeah, that was in June. That was the 1st of June.
We had it in June. Like that's correct, yeah.
Yeah, I think it was 80 degrees the day before.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's such inclement weather. People don't understand this. You know, they're so used to have the comfort of their home, their living room, their computer, their TV, David, you know.
Yeah.
Explain to them what it's like out there in those rural towns.
These towns, like the town I live here in Farmington, it's a town of 45,000, which would be kind of the hub of the Four Corners. But the outlying towns that are, you know, some of them are anywhere from 8 to 15 miles away. They're small little hamlets, I could call it, I guess. Some are just not even an actual town. They're just a scattering or smattering of businesses and homes. I guess it would be called unincorporated home. What do they call it? Township areas. But yeah, there's you know, sometimes there's not even a true definition of where this a village or a town is. You just see a smattering of homes, and then it's like high desert right outside. So it's very rural around here, and then. Some of these communities are like anywhere from, like around this general area, this immediate area, about 15 miles away from each other. But you get outside of town, and it could be up to 30, 40 miles away from each other.
You know what blows my mind, though, Dave, about your area up there?
Uh-huh.
Within a matter of 3 to 5 miles, you find these mountainous caverns with these caves.
Yeah.
It's so close.
Yeah, and it's so bizarre. Where these creatures will be in those caves, where we have found evidence, and yet it only takes you 10 minutes to drive back into town. You know, you can actually see the town, you know, just in the distance. So you go, wow, isn't this incredible?
Tell my audience why they named that town or that mountain Shipwreck.
Shipwreck? Yeah. It's a big volcanic plug that stands about 1,700 feet above the plain that it is, and it's actually like at 5,400 feet above sea level at the base. But it's a legend, actually. It pertains something to the phoenix bird. The Navajos have a legend that this bird had placed itself in this plain, and then it had turned into a big rock. And then other people, and in the modern days, people claim that Shipwreck looks like a ship going across the desert. So it's a wonderful, it's a beautiful rock, actually. And actually, it's going to be seen in a movie coming up here, I think in May or June. It's going to be The Lone Ranger. And they on their latest trailer, you can see Shipwreck. It's right there, just about half mile away.
I'll be damned.
Yeah.
Well, you know, it never ceases to amaze me when we get out into that terrain and, of course, get to see all our friends like you and everybody else. And thank you for keeping it all together for us. My man, it means an awful lot to me.
Thank you. Yeah, but yeah, we just love it out here. I mean, we just have a great climate here. We actually experience all four seasons. We did have a very harsh winter, and this weekend we're going to actually hit 60, which to us is like the banana belt now.
Wow. So,
but we still get snow until all the way probably into early April, and then we'll start experiencing true spring by that.
All right, here we go. Take a listen. Tender eyes that shine, ladies and gentlemen. Till next time, America, kudos and salutations. As Jimmy Durante said it, good night, Miss Calabash, wherever you are.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legend, tales, and facts. Put them all together.